Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's the guy on the keyboard? Should we just sing that Good Father once? You know, the last verse. Love undeniable. Hallelujah. You know, it's not easy to receive love. You know, many people are yearning in their hearts for love, but many don't know how to receive it because some have been damaged. You've been let down. And you know, even when we talk about Father, some of us don't know what Father feels like. You know, and you know, when, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you understand love that you have not earned, love that is undeniable, love that is for you, you'll do anything. You know, some of us, your relationship with God, it's in where it is because you don't understand how much He loves you. Hallelujah. Love is undeniable. Love me, Lord, that I'm not alone. You keep giving. You keep loving. You keep keeping. You keep protecting. Hallelujah. Lord, more than anything I can say this morning, oh, that they may hear your voice saying how much you love them. Each one of us, that we feel in our spirit your amazing love for us. Then we'll be all right. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Hallelujah. Lord, will you speak to us in the fullness of your love this morning? And may you open our hearts to, first of all, our ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Lord, will you speak and give us a heart to receive your word, that our lives will be transformed. Amen. Turn around to somebody and say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen to somebody. Amen. Say to them, God loves you. And you know, say to the children, you know, sometimes we you know what the disciples did? They said to the children, don't come to him, don't come to him. You're little. This is for adults. Children, God loves you. Are you listening to me? He loves you so much. How big is his love for you? Show me how big it is. You know, we used to sing a song, God's love. It's so wonderful. God's love. It's so wonderful. God's love. Oh, wonderful. How high is it? So high. So low. So wide. Oh, wonderful love. Okay, children, you have to stand up to do these actions with me. The children, you come on, stand up. The little ones, stand up, stand up, stand up. Okay. You see, the children, they need to receive God's word as well. Should we do it together? God, you cheat. And then the little ones. No, you don't steal the little ones. This is their moment. Come on, don't steal the little, don't covet their bit. Come on, tell your children, and those with little ones, stand up. Those with the little ones, stand up. You're helping the little ones, stand up. Okay, all the children, wave to me. Ah, wonderful, wonderful. So we're going to sing together. The children, I want you to do the movement, okay? Who is the children's teacher? Oh, come out, ma'am, come out. Come and do the actions with me. Okay. It's a family thing, isn't it? Father is here among us. Hallelujah. So come on, let's do it. Children, are we ready? God, you know, God has given you these children and you are their brilliant caretakers because they came from Him. They belong to Him. And it talks about women getting saved through childbirth. And the secret of that is that the way we look after these little ones really will affect our eternity. Are you with me? They will affect our eternity. God has given them to us as caretakers. Look after them well. Bring them up in the love of God. How will God demonstrate His love to them? The first way is through us, their parents. Then the second way is through us, their spiritual parents. I don't know whether you've been there when children have been getting dedicated. The church always promises to show them example and to lead them in the way and the will of God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, You are here among us this morning. Holy Spirit, bring Father's words to our hearts that we might receive as we believe them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. It's really, my heart is filled with so much joy being with you today. I came here, the last time I came to meet Pastor, and we were able to just pray and to talk together. And I believe God blessed us and encouraged us at that time. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He encourages. And the word of God for you this morning is a very simple one. You can't do it on your own. Amen. You know, it's always been the story of man. Good old Adam. God created him and gave him work to do. And then it came to a time that the Lord God saw that Adam could not, help me out, could not what? Do it on his own. And so God made for him a helper fit for him. Okay? Are you listening? But the today, I want us to understand, whether as individuals or as a church, that you can't do it on your own. And that's the message for us this morning. We can try hard. We can be the most intelligent. We can be the most creative. We can be the richest, the wealthiest, the healthiest, whatever term you want to use. The word I've got for you this morning is you can't do it on your own. You need a helper. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, if you've got your Bibles. Verse 15, this is what Jesus said. If you love me, you see, it's always about love, isn't it? If you love me, because he loved us. You see, we love him because he first loved us. So the disciples knew that Jesus loved them. That was taken. But he then said to them, he was on his way to heaven. He said to them, first of all, he said to them, don't be afraid. You know, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He was telling them really wonderful things about what was to come. But later on in verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because what? I go to my Father. Hallelujah. So it's these words. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. It is that picture of the Holy Spirit being there with us to help us, to comfort us. Any professional counselor here? Any person that's trained as a counselor? Pastor. You see, he does a good job. Nobody else understands what does a counselor do? What does a counselor do, sir? Help us.
A counselor will guide, will point you in the right direction.
Okay. Wonderful. And in another translation, he uses the term comforter. You see, so this is not just pointing now and guiding. This is actually also bringing comfort. What is comfort? How many of you have needed comfort this year? When the seventh month. How many of you have, at some point, you've needed comforting? Ah, you see, that shows that we can't do it on our own. Suddenly, you were faced with a challenge. And you had to leave the place you were before worshiping. And God opened a door for you to come here. How many of you believe it was God that opened that door? You would have been out on the street.
Yes, sir.
Do you know that? But he said, he goes before us and prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You see, those who owned the other property, they thought they owned us. But they don't. The only person that owns us is Father God. Are you with me? And they must have been totally traumatized to find that they didn't owe you. That you had another place. You know, the Lord Jesus said, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. When we say that, we often think it's only heaven. But you know, God is so amazing that he prepares places for us at different stages in our walk with him. I remember this was quite a few years ago. We were living in Manchester, my wife and I, and we started the church plant in Liverpool, and we wanted to move back. We wanted to move down to Liverpool from Manchester where we were living. And so we sold our house. We got another house. We'd signed a contract for for another property. You know, it was going through the solicitor. Everything was going smoothly. And a week before we were due to exchange, listen very carefully to this, the owner, we heard from the estate agents that they were pulling out. A week. We packed all our bags. Everything was packed. We'd sold our house. The guy we sold it to, every day would be saying, he wants to move in. We say, oh, okay, hold on. This is when, our place is getting whatever, the place we're buying. And you know what we did? My wife and I, we went into fasting and praying. We said, Lord, how dare they pull out in the name of Jesus? Tell them to turn their minds around. Instead of turning the minds around, they pressed further. They pressed further. You know? And suddenly, I heard the whisper of God. And I said to my wife, I think God has got something better for us. And I said to her, we're living in Manchester. And I said, I'm going down to Liverpool right now. Got in the car and drove down to Liverpool. Went to the, and as I walked to, went to Allerton, I saw an estate agent. And I felt the Holy Spirit saying, go in there and see what they've got in. Went in, and somebody who had run out of the country because he was running away from the tax man. He rang them from wherever he was hiding and said, slash £20,000 from the property because sell it right away. And I walked into the place. Walked into the place. And I said, what have you got? The guy said, oh, we've just, and this, the owner has just slashed this property. Are you interested in it? Looked at it. It was well above. We'd seen it before, but you know, it's the type you just see and walk past. You know? I mean, this was not now. This was in the early 80s. It was worth a bit that we couldn't afford it. 20,000 off. 20,000 off brought it to the level that of the one that we just missed. I was the first one. I said, can anybody show me around? You know how God arranges things. God, there's someone to show around that day. That day. They said, oh, well, someone, funny enough, there's someone going to that area today. And at this particular time, if you can meet him there. As I look, as I saw the house, I said, don't worry, it's us. They said, come inside. They don't even worry, it's us. Went in there. It was unbelievable compared to the one that we were meant to move into. We bought the property, and I now when I go walking round and jogging round, I walk through the street and the house we were going to buy before. And every time I say, thank you, Father, we never bought this one. I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, when he's gone, he will come and take us to be with him. I want you to know, you see, a shepherd always goes ahead. You see, if a shepherd gets, it's a foolish shepherd that gets a herd of sheep and goes to a place he doesn't know. Are you with me? You see, he knows the place. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. You see, he's already been there. And I have good news for you. Where you're going, Jesus has already been there. Amen. Are you with me? When he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let be afraid. In my Father's house, there are many what?
Mansions.
Hallelujah. We're in the kingdom, isn't it? This is God's kingdom. That's why he says we should pray, thy kingdom come. And when the kingdom comes, we're in the kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, there is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can't do it on your own. Amen. That's why after the wonderful promise, the Lord Jesus said to them, you need somebody to guide you. He's called the Comforter. There are some of you here this morning, this afternoon, that you're wondering, how will the Holy Spirit lead me? How will he guide me? Let me tell you very quickly a few facts. Because some of you are afraid. You see, some of you are scared. You know what some of you are afraid of? You are afraid of letting go and letting God have the whole of you. Because he might turn you into an impostor. and you've seen the struggles, pastors. Lord, I don't want to be that close to you because you might turn me into something. I've got my plans. Calm down. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans to not to harm you. You see, he's a good father. Why are you afraid of him? How many of you know Jesus as your Lord this afternoon? You've accepted him into your life as your Savior and your Lord. Okay, some of you do. So I'm talking to the believers here. Let me tell you something, that it took the Holy Spirit for you to be born again. So that you might know that the Holy Spirit I'm talking about is not a stranger. You see, he was there when you were being born again. In fact, Jesus said that unless one is, it says the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That means that, and all these things are prerequisite to salvation. They must happen to bring a person to faith. Unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, your salvation, the Holy Spirit was involved when you got saved. How many of you know that it's not everybody that hears about Jesus that turns to him? You see, it doesn't matter if you're a professor of theology or if you're somebody who can't read or write. It takes the Holy Spirit to open your being to who Jesus is. So when you realize that you're a sinner, when you realize the judgment of God, and when you open your heart to the gift of life, you're born again. But it's the Holy Spirit that brings that about in you. I was reading a book by Billy Graham. You know who Billy Graham was? Yeah. Perhaps the most... the most incredible evangelist of the 20th century. A man that brought many, many millions to Christ Jesus. You know what he said? He said in all his meetings, he would preach the word, but he could never bring somebody to Christ. That even millions would come forward. They would come forward with, as human beings, but it took the Holy Spirit to transform them into sons and daughters of God. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When an ordinary person is transformed, translated into a child of God, he says it gives them the power to become the sons of God in John 1. To those who believe in him, he gives the power to become the sons of God. So it is the Holy Spirit that turns you into a child of God. Let me say to you this afternoon, if you don't recognize yourself yet as a child of God, as one that is born again of the Spirit of God, you have that opportunity today. Don't go away from here without opening yourself to the Holy Spirit, the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to transform you into a child of God. How many of you believe what I'm saying? Is it true?
Yes.
It is true. One day it happened to me, and I didn't even know. I went into a meeting. I was 14. I went into a meeting, you know. My brother said, come along to this meeting. And I went in there. And all around me, it was pandemonium. And I was watching them. All sorts of amazing things happening. I still remember a little girl of about 7 or 8. And this little girl began to prophesy and speak about what God was saying to the adults. You know, parents, let me tell you something. Your children are not too young to experience the move of the Holy Spirit. That was one of the things that stunned me. I'm sitting there thinking, what? What is going on? I remember standing in my seat. It was in a tent outdoor. And as I stood in my, I'm thinking, whatever is going on here, I want some of it. You see, I was brought up an Anglican. I went to church every day with my parents. But I had not experienced the new birth of Christ. You can come to church every day and not know who Christ is. Knowing who Christ is not just knowing somebody that's there. To know somebody is to experience somebody. It's time for you to stop living off somebody else's story. Maybe your relationship with God is just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. No, that's not what relationship is. Imagine if your relationship with your children was based on your children coming, daddy, give me, mommy, give me, daddy, give me. It can't be. A relationship is a love thing. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? You need to have a love walk with Jesus. But it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to create that new person in us. That's more than just asking. That's living a life that's rooted in the love of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So he was involved. I'm moving on fast. The next thing is this. Like I said, it takes the Holy Spirit to give us that power to become children of God. Of course, you know. Let me read to you from Romans 7. We're getting deeper now in this, okay? Romans 7. Paul said this, verse 21. He said, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Then he went on, verse 25. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? All right, very quickly, Paul there was talking about a struggle. When we come to Christ, it doesn't mean that we become perfect. In fact, the opposite. You know why? Because we still have this body. When a person does not know Christ, is one person that's ruling, that's running that body. The moment you know Christ Jesus, you become two in one. Are you with me? You become two in one. The new life of Christ begins within you. But then there is the law of the flesh that's tied up in this body. And so we find this struggle happening. But thanks be to God. Through Christ Jesus. He said he will not leave us alone. He will send us the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who will be with us. He'll live in us. You cannot do it on your own. What am I talking about? The struggle to walk right with God. In each one of us, we've got a battle going on. Am I right? Or is it just me? Oh, so okay, thank you. It's not me alone. Paul said in him, he finds that battle going on. I want to do, January 1st, Lord, this year is going to be the most wonderful year of my walk with you. I'm going to read my Bible every day. Is that sounding familiar? Yes. I wouldn't miss prayer. Pastor, whatever needs doing, I'll be there. By March, and that's stretching it, by March. Pastor says, I need a pastor. Look, I'm just so busy right now. You know. By April, it's like, Lord, I've got extra job now. You know, you can't expect me to wake up to pray. Everything is too early for me. In fact, that church, I'm still in you, Lord. I'm still in you. You know. The day you didn't have any job, any money, you were with him regularly. But now, Lord, you know, I'm busy. Is the, you know, we become like Adam. Is the, not the wife this time, is the work you gave me. Lord, don't you know it's your fault? It's the children you gave me. You see, I was a bachelor then. I had plenty of time for you. But January 1st, you're making those vows. Lord, why are you making the vows? Because there's a war that's going on inside you. You see, the Spirit of Christ is in you. And he's saying to you, son, this is what I want you to do. Son, I need you, you know. I've got things for you to do for me. I want you to walk with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? You see, the war is there. And sometimes we get discouraged. So, I'm no good. Because you try so hard. I'm no good. Look at me. I said I wouldn't tell lies anymore. Look at me. I said I wouldn't slap someone in the face anymore. It was that woman. She upset me. You know. Make me gentle. And you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And you're reading all those amazing things. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, and those things. And Lord, oh, I would love to be a bit more gentle. And yet, you start to anger regularly. The good news is that we've got help. Amen. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit. You see, he's already come into your life when you gave your life to Christ. Are you with me? There is no hairy fairy stuff about it. It's a reality. Unless he brought you to Christ, you would not be a Christian. But you are already a believer. The Spirit of God has already moved upon your life. So what is the challenge? I heard this story. Hallelujah. I heard this story. Oh, by the way, let me just remind you that you see, the Holy Spirit is a seal. You know when you buy a property, they give you the deeds, isn't it? Bang. And when they stamp it, whatever land registry or whoever it is, the solicitor, bang, bang. It means it's yours. It's sealed. And it's so difficult to unseal it. Let me tell you a funny mistake that happened, right? This is in one of our Covenant churches. So they bought a property, okay, from somebody. That person, the property was repossessed from him because they didn't pay by the bank. The bank took the property back and so it's been forwards and backwards for our church in this particular part of the country to buy this building. And in fact, it's in Dublin, you know. So anyway, so when they completed all the process and so on, and then it was time for payment, they arranged the payment through the bank. They looked at the deed. The solicitor had made a mistake. He sold the property back to the person that they repossessed it from. Do you know? They're now back in court because it has been sealed. So they've now going to go through the process of unsealing it. You see, when God sealed you with the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to unseal it. That's who you are. That's what he says. I'm loved by him. That's who I am. He's put a seal of love on you. When you said, I do, he put the seal. When we marry people, we give them rings to say, right, you're sealed now. You belong to him. She belongs to you. Hallelujah. Are you with me? That's the seal of God on you. Ephesians 1 chapter 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's what happens. When you believed, you were sealed. And it was the Holy Spirit that was the mark of that seal. That's what you've got on you. Hallelujah. I was reading this book, and there was this story in it. I want to talk about the struggle. Okay? Why is it that there are two people in me and one is, you know, fighting. Who is winning? There was this actually happened. It was in Iceland, and this particular remote community. So this guy from the Eskimo group would bring his dog. He had two dogs, one black, one white. He would bring them to the marketplace every Saturday, and so he would ask people to bet on which one will win. Okay, and then people would put the money down, and this guy would know who will win, and it will say to them. So they'll put the bets down and so on. And then he would let them fight. And whichever one the guy predicts will win, always won. And so the people asked, why is it that one time the black dog will win, the other time the white dog will win, and what was going on? You know what he said? You know what the situation, what the story was? Sorry? Did somebody get the answer? No. Sorry? He fed. He always fed one for 2 days and he would starve the other one. So he would starve one and feed the other one. So when they came to fight, the one that was not fed always lost. Why is it that the war in us is always raging and we always seem to be losing? So we keep going back to the same challenges we've been having. We are like a merry-go-round. We need to feed the Spirit of God in us. Are you with me? He's in us. So the challenge is for us to receive the help that he offers us. We need to walk in the will of Christ Jesus. Walking in that will means feeding the Spirit of God in us. Paul was talking about that battle that was raging. If you spend all your life feeding the flesh part of you, what will happen? You live in the flesh. That's what Romans 8 is all about. Life in the Spirit. You cannot live a life in the Spirit if you set your mind on the flesh. If regularly the things you are feeding are the things of the flesh. You know one of the reasons fasting is good? When your tummy goes, whoa! You say, Lord, have mercy. You know, you cry out. Is that right? Your body reminds you that it's suffering. And when that body reminds you I'm suffering, you say, Lord, you become spiritual. But sometimes when you put pounded yam in, you're gone. You have the intention of praying. But by the time you sit down, you're gone. When you feed the flesh, it fuels the things of the flesh. When you feed the Spirit, it fuels your walk with God. Look, the good news is that you need help. I need help. As a church, you need help. Do you know that? You need help. At this time, as you are in this state that you're waiting for God's direction, you need to stand together. Again, looking at that in a church congregation, Pastor, I'll tell you the truth. There are some who are positives and some who are sometimes not that positive. Okay, not that positive. But the fuel, it'll be wonderful if positive could be the one that's been fed. Amen. In the place. Amen. Are you with me? And when it gets to it, it's those who are positively fed that will remain. Amen. Are you with me? And the more, I'm talking to all of us, if we rise up in the positive, if in our lives we are positive in our walk with God, you know, then we will be positive in our walk in church. Collectively, we become the positive body. Amen. Are you with me? And nothing will be impossible for you. You know, I always go back to the story of the Tower of Babel. Remember, God changed the tongue. Why? Because God said, for as long as they were united, nothing would be impossible to them. God has encouraged me so many times over the years. So the challenge is this. You see, God wants you in your personal life to feed that positive, the move of the Spirit in you, so that you are ruled by the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. And then, we're on the victory side. Later on in Romans 8, Paul began to talk about who shall separate us from the love of God. Let the trouble come. If our mind is set on the Spirit, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And then he went on to say, for we are more than conquerors. You want to be a champion? You want to be a conqueror? You need to feed the Spirit part of you. Then when you get out of your house, whatever is coming, it doesn't matter, because you are not on your own. You're well armed. The Spirit is in you. He's with you. That is how you live the life of the victors. Inner struggles will be there until Christ comes back for us. But until that time, we can learn to walk in the right part of our being. Amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a right part of your being. That part that's controlled by the Spirit is the right part of your being. That part that's not controlled by the Spirit is the one that will pull you down. The goodness is that the Holy Spirit is with you and is in you. Let me finish off. God's command is the same for all of us. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. A few things to feed. How do I feed my mind? How do I feed the Spirit part of me? Let me tell you a few pointers. Set your mind on what the Spirit wants. Okay? These are all in Romans 8, 9, 10. You'll read. You'll find so many wonderful words. Set your mind. You need to deal with your mind. Okay? When you find out what the Spirit wants, set the mind on it. Second one, respond to what he shows you. Okay? Look, when a person goes to a mirror, you know, there was this saying by Paul. He said, some are like people that go to a mirror, they see what they look like, and they go away and immediately forget it. Okay? Don't forget what the Spirit says. Respond to what he shows you that need doing. Okay? Fantastic. When you do that, you're feeding that part. Third, cooperate with him. Okay? Cooperate with him. Often, as you walk with God, I don't know about you, but my experience is that God doesn't always show me everything that's wrong with me at one time. Okay? Imagine, parents, if you told your child that the 100th thing's wrong with them, what will they think of you? They'll say you're wicked. But what do? We tend to tell our children one at a time. Isn't that right? We just guide them until one battle is won, and then we introduce them to another one. Is that right? So guess what? The Holy Spirit is still dealing with me. But thank God he's not everything at once. But when you recognize what he's saying to you that needs sorting out, cooperate with him. Accept what he's saying, and then begin to look at how it would help you to deliver it. Okay? That's third. It gives you strength. Ask him daily to give you strength to overcome temptation. Temptation is bound to come. Are you listening to me? Don't turn your back on temptation. If you turn your back on it and you think you can handle it on your own, you run into trouble. There are times I've been tempted and I thought, of course, I am this position, I should be able to handle it. Oh, I've been knocked down by it. Recognize that you need help to overcome temptation. That's why the Lord Jesus said we should pray, lead us not into temptation. Why did he teach us to pray that? Because he knows we just walk into it daily. Take temptation seriously, because temptations will fuel the bad part of you. Okay? Some of you may be tempted to watch things you shouldn't be watching. Are you with me? Things that you know will stir up the bad part of you. Don't deceive yourself. You know, there are many Christian men that are tied up in pornography. Many. They'll sing and lead worship incredibly well. But they're chained with pornography. It would have started with this deception, you are all right, you can handle it. Hey, you can't handle it. You just need to face the fact you can't handle it, because it'll get you tied up. If you recognize that you can't handle it, and by the way, some of our young people are even more deeper rooted in pornographic stuff than the adults. Okay? So if you recognize your child is looking at things they shouldn't look at, guess what? They can't help themselves either. You know what you've got to do? Start seeking God. And encourage them to seek God with you. Let them understand that this is something that will destroy them. When you're watching it, they don't understand what the challenge could be. But it destroys. So, cooperate with him. Those things that need to be sorted out. And then, finally, I'll stop at one or two more. Develop new fruit in you. Okay? Love, joy, peace. Set yourself goals. Okay? Set yourself goals. Don't just live a life of, oh, what are we doing? Oh, we're praying more, Pastor. What are we doing? Set a goal. I'm doing an appraisal with our leadership team. So I've been doing one-to-one appraisal with them. And it's been really wonderful just setting targets with them. Okay, where are you on this? That this love, joy, peace, where are you? Where is the area that's weak, that you're struggling on? Okay, let's set a goal for the next season, how you might be strengthened in that area. And then finally, seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because if you are focused on using what the Holy Spirit gives you, you'll be developing it. Really, the message is very simple. You need help. And that help is the Holy Spirit. And that help will come. It's already in you when you came to Christ. It's there. But there's that battle that's going on, which pushes us always to lose. But today, let's be resolved to start feeding the Holy Spirit in us, do those things we've talked about, and you know, we will begin to live lives of champions. God bless you. As a church, let me encourage you, as a church, feed the Holy Spirit. You know, let encourage one another. What's God saying to us? What's the Holy Spirit leading us? What's He leading us to? Encourage one another. Come on, let's go for it. Okay, let's feed that positive part. Hold the hand of your leaders and say, come on, we can do it. Pastor, elder, what's God saying to us? Yes, we'll hold on to it. Write it down. We'll believe it. We'll stand with it. Holy Spirit, come and accomplish it in us. And you'll be amazed as a church. You will get to where God has planned for you. You are not on your own. Remember, Jesus said He has gone to prepare a place for you. And He will come. As you continue to walk in Him, He'll come to take you to where He's prepared for you. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come now upon this assembly. This is called Love Assembly. Come, Holy Spirit. Come upon this assembly. Holy Spirit, bring them together as one. You are with them. Come inside of them fully. Accomplish what you want to do. Speak your word over them. That this body will rise up as a beacon to this city. The years they've spent in seeking your face, their time will come. When what they've been receiving from you in secret will be revealed in public. Until then, Lord, keep them faithful. Keep them together as a family. Build them strong. Keep their focus on you. Let them grow. For this we ask in your precious name. Amen.